Somewhere in your walk with the Lord, you're going to go through some burned out places and some worn out places because there is a price to be paid. You know what it cost you to get that anointing on your life and how much it broke you down. Come on, somebody.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Today's message was taken from a recent service here at Pace Assembly. This sermon is entitled, You Shall Recover All. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
Sometimes you just need to get on the other side of the highway. Sometimes you need to drive and take a different route because just driving by can stir up all kind of nastiness going on in your life. And David understood this. In fact, the Philistines always desiring to fight, and David was ready in his first contact with the nation or the people of the Philistines. His first fight with them, as you well know, was the fight between him and Goliath. He was the first time that he would encounter those Philistines on the battlefield. It's very interesting that Saul was anointed to be king, and the same time David was anointed to be the next king. One was persuaded to be able to go ahead out into the battlefield and take Goliath down, and the other one was cowering in the tent. Yet they had an anointing upon their life. One wanted to go through the process and do what it took to take the Goliath down, and the other one was afraid to go out there. David understood this. And where we pick the story up now is a little bit later, where David has connected himself actually to Achish, who is a Philistine king. He's running from Saul, who had been out to kill him and out to take him out. He threw javelins at him to try to take him out, but David would just keep singing those sweet songs, and the spirit, that evil spirit, would depart from Saul. But now David's on the run, and in order to preserve his life at this occasion, Saul, the anointing had drifted and gone away from Saul in his encounter with the prophet Samuel, who said, today it's gone from you. And now Saul is filled with rage and envy and strife because they're singing those songs back at the house. All the young girls are. Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. And you know, when somebody else gets a little bit more credit than you on the same occasion, it'll kind of want something to rise up. And Saul let that thing rise up. So now David has joined himself with Achish, the Philistine king, and the armies of the Philistines. And they had been out fighting the Amalekites and so forth, and they were weary. They came in. And in chapter 29, you find the fact that the leaders, the generals of the Philistines, came to Achish, the king, and said, hey, we're about to go and fight against King Saul of Israel, and this guy David, we know his connection. He can't go with us. We can't go out into battle because this will be the occasion that he'll flip on us right here in the middle of the battlefield and start fighting against us. And we've seen how David fights. So Achish, you send him home. He said, I don't want to send him home. He said, you send him home. He's not going out to battle with us. And so David collects his 600 mighty men, and he goes back to the city called Ziklag that Achish, the Philistine king, gave to him as a prize earlier on. In the town of Ziklag was the wives and the children, those daughters and sons that were there, and that was their hometown. And the 600 fighters with David came out, and they're on their way home, and now these chosen men of God that have been fighting battles and winning victories, and now they're tired and they're weary, and they're celebrating in their own self the victories that they've had. And they take a 3-day journey from where they were to be able to get back to the house, back to Ziklag. But it was the custom of the day that whenever the mighty men, the warriors, would be coming back home, that the women and the children would go out to meet them with tambourines and celebration, celebrating the victory of the men coming back from battle. But David, as he got closer to Ziklag, heard no celebration coming out of the women. There was no one to celebrate. Something was entirely wrong. There was no sound of victory in the camp. In fact, my friends, it's bad when you can't find anybody to celebrate with you. The closer he got to Ziklag, David smells the smoke of smoldering fire. He can't enjoy the victories that he's just had, and neither can his mighty men, because they sense something now is wrong. I'll tell you from my perspective, and I believe from David's as well, and from many of you, you can fight the enemy, the adversary, when you're fresh and when you're alert and when you've got strength and you feel like that you're at a place where you can take it on. You'll go ahead and get in your prayer closet. You'll go ahead and fight the enemy. You'll stand. But when you are tired and weary from one battle after another, and when they get close and top the hill looking into Ziklag, Ziklag is on fire. I saw the reference of what I believe Ziklag was like even as we speak. In Northern California, on the Oregon border in Redding, California, the whole town is on fire. And I saw some pictures as everything has been completely burned out in these uncontrolled fires. This is what it looked like, I could imagine, when they topped the hill going into Ziklag that was burned out, and all their wives and their children were gone, and they were taken captive. They weren't slaughtered. The enemy came and took them captive and took them back to their place. Their hometown was burned out. The things that they loved, the things they worked for, the things that they had fought for, now they're looking at the smoldering remains and the missing family members, and it brings them to a place of such utter distress and despair that the Bible says that the mighty men, these strong, muscle-bound men, you can imagine them coming back with the sweat rolling off of their biceps and the spears and the shields that they have, weary from the battle, weary from the three-day journey of where they are, anxious to see their family, anxious to get back to the town where they were able to celebrate and enjoy some time together. And now when they top the hill and they get the report of what's happening at Ziklag, that they fall to the ground in an overwhelming sense of loss and despair, that the attack is so devastating. They've been knocked down to their knees. The wind has been knocked out of them. Has anybody ever been knocked to your knees by something that you've heard coming into your life before? I mean, there are some things, ladies and gentlemen, that can hit you and make you weep. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have. A few occasions in my life that I've been knocked to such a degree that I've wept until I had no more tears to cry. That's where these men were. They wept until they had, the Bible said, they had no more power. Now, the reason why I'm not getting a lot of amens is because you're thinking about somebody else. And since it's happening to them in Redding, California, then it doesn't affect me. I can flip the channel and watch my favorite show. But when it's your own life that's been burned out, when it's your house that's on fire, when it's your children that are running astray, when you're the one who is burned out, when you're the one who is facing divorce court because of your marriage, when you're the one who got, you've been working at that job for years and now 30 years and they've let you go, when it's you that have counted on people time and again and they've let you down and rejected you and turned around and slandered you and cut your throat. Now it's not their problem, it's my problem. Now it's not their church, it's my church. Attack after attack. I found out in my life, are you with me this morning? I found out in my life that some of the greatest attacks happen specifically in two places. Right before great victory comes and right after the victory has been completed. You got to be careful during those times. Just like David, these men were so broke down that it stole the victories that they had just won by coming back to their own hometown, finding that their own house was burned out. Somewhere in your walk with the Lord, You're going to go through some fire and some smoke and some burned out places and some worn out places, because there is a price to be paid. And some people are quite jealous of the anointing that you have when you come out of your victory. And a lot of times, and I've had folks do that with ministry, they look at what maybe I do or what you do, and they say within themselves, you know what, I can do that. And I say, hook it up. You know what it cost you to get that anointing on your life and how much it broke you down. Come on, somebody. You know what you had to walk through in order to get where you are right now. And I'm amazed that they're so jealous of the anointing, but I'm saying, why don't you get jealous of the pain? Because if you want my anointing, you got to go through the pain. Why aren't you jealous over, take some of this pain and then you can have some anointing. But you can't buy this in the trunk of a car. You got to go through what you got to go through. And I came to tell you what a lot of folks won't tell you. There's some pain in the process of getting to your promise. There's some burned out places. There's some places where your closest friends will turn around and sell you out. There's a price to be paid. They want the promises, but they don't want the pain. But I came to tell you, before you get your credentials, before you get a plaque on the wall that says, Reverend Flip-Flop Ordained, God will send you through the trial. Somebody said, well, that's the reason why I'm not a reverend. I'm just going to tell you, if you own a business in here, if you have children, if you're married, if you're single, I don't care where your place is, before you can stand up and say, God has done this, he's going to take you through that experience. But experience will bring hope, and hope won't leave you ashamed. And then nobody can talk you out of the promise, because you've already walked through the pain. Come on, somebody. In order to get your credentials, you're going to have to go through the painful place. Can I preach to you now? Well, you were shouting a little while ago on the title, You Shall Recover All. And everybody wants to get to the end of the movie. But somewhere in the middle of the movie, somebody's shooting at me. Somebody's rejecting me. Somebody's throwing me to the side. Somebody don't like me in this building right now. That's the reason why they sit over there and I have to sit over here. I'm sorry. That doesn't happen here at Pace. It happens at everybody else's church. You got to go through some things, because there is a price to be paid for the anointing on your life. And when you say anointing, we use that so flippant. Oh, they're so anointed. Let me tell you something. You don't get the anointing without the crushing. And if you've been here over the past few weeks, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You look around this room, when I put that microphone in his mouth this morning to testify about where he's been, I didn't give him any forewarning of that. But he opened his mouth and testified. Now, that's not your story. That's his story. And you look up there and he looks like, well, he looks like Willie off of Duck Dynasty, but other than that, you look up here. When I look up and I see Joe, you look up here and he's strumming the guitar week after week, faithful to come to rehearsals, faithful to practice, faithful to be here on the platform, steady. I'm talking about faithful. Come on, somebody. If you're not careful, pain will drive you from being faithful to the house of God. There's some folks that are not coming to church right now because pain is coming to their life, and the enemy said, there ain't no sense in you going down there. You're not getting anything out of there. But if you know what I know, there is only one place that I know that I can go. And while there may be some hypocrites in the house, there's a whole lot of saints. And when we all get together.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.